Lime, duh. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, let's do a lifestyle episode, baby. Yeah.
Shock the system.
My lifestyle. I'm 4 or 5 women every day of my life.
Hey, welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling lifestyle episode where we discuss about our lives outside of the world of wrestling. But you know the world of wrestling gonna creep in, Daddy.
Bro.
We're gonna be answering a couple of your questions here today and also just talking about our lives and what's going on in our lives as three-dimensional individual fans and individual people and pro wrestling fans. In studio, we got returning Aaron Finnerty.
Gobble gobble wee.
And the Canadian Dream / my Canadian Nightmare, Anoush McAdams.
Hello, we the North. Toronto Raptors, NBA champion.
Yeah, wow.
So united up, my entire country.
Yeah, that was beautiful.
Bringing up sports on my pro wrestling podcast. Yo, about to drop you on the dome. Yeah, so listen. Let's get into it. Talk about our lives. What's going on? I say one thing we were talking about today, right before we went on the air, was sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about sleeping. Do you guys struggle with sleep?
Exclusively.
Listen, Dan, my top two favorite activities are sleeping and being awake.
Okay, so it sounds like you sleep 50, too much,
50, buddy. No, I don't sleep enough. I go to sleep very late. I'm like you. You know why? Because we text very late, you and I often.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm like you. I'll text you at 2 a.m. You always answer.
Yeah, always on. So that's something I don't actually have like a full REM cycle or whatever called. Like I people are always like, why are you responding to this?
Yeah.
And I'm always like, yo, if I see the phone go, like what, like if I don't know, someone might need me. You know, I don't know. People are like, we're too connected. I'm like, yeah, you know, maybe, but I'm also, whatever it is with my sleep, I have my long history of family who like, we don't sleep.
I got a weird fucked up sleep genetics too. My mom worked midnights when I was growing up, and then my dad woke up at like 3 a.m. for work. So like, and I was just like a natural night owl. Mm. And I believe that my history of sleep issues comes from like, I started watching like David Letterman in the 5th grade. Right. So I would stay up till 12:30 a.m. because my parents, you know, they let me do whatever I want. And I believe that that set me up for a history, a lifelong battle with sleep, just because.
Aaron, I think we have the exact same thing, because once I got a TV in my room,
yes,
I would start watching Conan O'Brien, and that ends at 1:30.
I've been there,
and then I couldn't go to sleep till
and
like 2.
I think it's just, I can never, sleep is something I cannot crack the code on. Mm-hmm. And I've asked people, I've looked and people are like, oh, try blue blocking glasses or whatever. I'm like, you don't understand. Yeah. Like, no remedy can get me right.
Yeah. So, like, the thing with sleep is that, like, so I'm like, all right. So, a couple things about sleep in my life, just because it seems like we're giving sleep histories. That's what the while we sit here waiting for pro wrestling to happen, we're mere hours away from Monday Night Raw. And you're like, what's going to happen?
Actually falling asleep.
And so, two things, like my grandfather never slept. My dad's dad never slept. Like he was up, and I think it was from the war. I think he had like PTSD from the war, and I think he just didn't sleep. Like I think that just fucked him up. Like he actually fought overseas during World War II. And just a guy, like I would stay at my grandpa's house in Florida, and like it was weird. They had this like room that had a window. It was like second story. His bedroom was downstairs. And like it had like one of those windows, like you could close it with shutters, but like essentially it was, you could see the whole apartment from the top, like the house, right? Yes. So I would sleep there and just hear my grandpa like just up moving about, watching TV, like, and it'd be all night long. And it didn't keep me up or anything, because like I don't stay up from noise, because I grew up in a house with so many people. I shared a room with my brother, like we were like jammed in, you know what I mean? Like that, where like now it's like, my wife was like an only child, is like, hey, you could like just do your own thing. You know what I mean?
Right,
I'm like,
right.
Oh, what? You know? So like my grandpa was like that, and my dad was never sleeping. Like he used to pick me up. I'd be like out late at night, and like my other friends would like take taxis home, and he would just be like, I'll come get you. It's like 4 a.m. I'm not sleeping.
Dan comes from a long line of men walking around the house in their nightgown, investigating a sound with a candle.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of prospecting. Yeah. anything that involved, a lot of spelunking, anything that involved getting into it. But I'm saying, like, so yeah, that was it. Like, I feel like I come from like a long line of not sleepers. And it's, my family, the culture is like, you're never sleeping. And now I'm on the West Coast, which is really funny that I call my parents and like, sometimes it's like midnight. It'll be like, I'm calling them at 3 a.m. and they're like, pick up. They're like, right. Yeah. And they're like, yeah, what's, and they got to go to work in like a couple hours, but they're like, yeah, call. And I'm like, sorry, I didn't realize the time difference. They're like, no, always call. Who cares?
Right.
And then I talk to them. You know, like, that's, it's interesting. Like, no one sleep. None of us fucking sleep. No.
Yeah, my husband's family is like that too. Like, you don't know, are you waking up this early or have you just gone to bed? I have found that making the transition from Eastern Standard Time to Pacific Standard Time has been helpful to me in going to bed earlier.
Yes.
Because now I'm very tired at 11:45 midnight, which is, you know, 2:45, 3 a.m.
Yeah.
And on my previous time zone. And I mean, it's helping me because I can, like, previously I could stay up indefinitely.
Right.
And, you know, never sleep. But now I'm actually, like, getting tired at a reasonable hour.
Yeah. I mean, my New York City schedule, I mean, now keep in mind, some of this is the fact that, like, oh, and I'm echoing. Some of it's the fact that, like, I was just, like, in my 20s and doing comedy in New York City, a city that notoriously does not sleep. I don't know if you've heard old Frankie Blue Eyes. My schedule would be, go to sleep at 4 a.m. every single night.
Yeah.
Like, so I'd be in my bed, like, watching something or whatever. Even if I'm in bed, like, I'm not sleeping till 4 a.m.
I know.
And even... that would had nothing to do with the time I'm waking up. Those were completely irrelevant.
Yeah.
So if I had to get to work at 8 a.m., I'm still sleeping. I'm still going to bed at 4.
Mm-hmm. I also find that now I'm on that schedule too, and I find that now I get great work done between 12 a.m. and 4 a.m. And if I miss out on that time, then I'm missing out on creative time, any sort of due diligence I have to work on.
Right. You know? Well, I think people who have a healthy sleep cycle find that waking up extra early is when they can do stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I'll go to bed at a reasonable hour, like 9 or 10, and I can wake up at 6 and, you know, get a lot done before the day actually starts.
So here's the deal, though, with sleep. So, like, now I'm at, all right, again, we've been talking about, like, now I'm in one of my most healthiest zones of my life, right? And so now my sleep schedule is, it's weird because, like, I you know, some nights I perform super late, but I still hit, I go to my 8, 10 a.m., which, by the way, some people were giving me shit, being like, I know 8, 10's not that early. That's what I was trying to say. Well, if any time I emphasize that, like, I go to 8 a.m. class, well, I'm emphasizing that I don't miss it.
It's also...
that's what I'm saying.
Okay? I mean, it's all relative. Like, 8:30 or in 8, 10 class, you know... like, some people don't get their day started till 12 or 4.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's all relative.
I think also up performing a lot of times. I mean, most of the time my shows are like 8, 9. Sometimes I get on stage at like 10 or 10:30. I don't get home till midnight all the time. And then my wife also is a stand-up. She comes home super late. She comes home, I just get up and talk to her.
Right.
So then we don't get to, then we put on Handmaid's Tale or whatever. I don't not bed till 2 and then I get to the gym at 8.
Dude, after you do a show, it's free cocaine. You're high as hell.
Yeah, the stage,
you
know, stage high is a real thing.
It's fucking crazy. You can't go to bed.
The stage adrenaline is like a real thing.
That doesn't go away. It's nuts.
But so I'm saying, so in terms of sleep, in terms of like, I've never seen sleep as like a problem for me though. Like, some people talk about sleep like they talk about their back, I've noticed.
Yeah.
Where they're like, I got back problems, I got sleep problems.
I'm
like, I've had problems with both, but not chronic, you know?
Right.
Where I'm like,
I think for me, sleep is a problem because I'm always, when I'm on a regular schedule, which I'm not right now, but when I am working, I find that I am like dead tired at the same time every single day. And I can't, it's inescapable, you know, no matter how much sleep I get or what time I go to bed or when I wake up. It's just part of like the everyday routine, just like waking up at 6 a.m. to go to work or go to the gym and then go to work. Hitting that afternoon slump where I feel like I'm going to pass out where I'm sitting is just part of what it is. So it's a problem, but you know, it's also a problem because I really like sleep and I like feeling well rested.
You got to get on that Spanish siesta program. Shut down the town at 2 p.m., have a nap.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what that's where I'm at, really, to be honest. Yeah. Like, not that I do it, but I'm saying, let's say I had an optimal day. Like, what would be your optimal day? And I think, like, if I'm going by my natural rhythm based on someone who's working out in the morning and performing at night, it is like, I absolutely don't want to work out at a different time. Yeah. Like, it really works for me to kick off my day with, like, drink a coffee and, like, crush weights. Like, that is like a drug to me. That's, like, the fucking best thing ever, right?
Yeah.
So I love doing that. And I didn't realize that, to be honest. That's, like, we talk about, like, trial and error and what works for you and kind of why these episodes even came about.
Yeah.
Because I was like, Newman, you lost 140 pounds. How do you do that? It's like, I worked out at, like, I used to work out, like, I used to think I like working out in the afternoon because it's like, I like to sleep. And you're like, actually, you don't like it.
Right.
It's easier for you, but you don't like it because it's not my maximum thing. I don't like working out with, like, a bunch of food in my stomach already for the day. I don't like to, like, stop working on other stuff to go to the gym. That's my big thing, is that, like, I want the gym out of the fucking way.
Well, I think that's the big appeal of going mega early, is that you have already done this thing and you have the rest of the day ahead of you. You don't have to worry about it.
Right.
I also have found that I would take classes, like Orange Theory classes, after work during the week at 7 p.m. and have trouble falling asleep that night. But on the weekends, you could take an 8:30 class and the rest of the day is fantastic and you go to bed like a normal person.
So I haven't done Orange Theory. Arlen's big into it.
Orange Theory is very
And my sister-in-law is a major, and she's an Orange Theorist.
It's very good. I mean, it's good because it's like 1 hour and it goes by very quickly and I need to be in like a sanctioned time situation to not get bored and just walk out.
Yeah, so they have heart rate monitors, right? That's like getting into the orange.
Yeah, the screen. Basically, like, you just like stare. You can watch your progress on the screen while you're working out.
But I was saying, like, in terms of my natural day, it's like I'd want to do that workout. Then I'd want to like come back home, eat a major breakfast. Mm-hmm. Like, I love, like, it's like, yo, it's time to break the fast, major breakfast. And that, like, I eat like an 800, 900 calorie breakfast.
Wow.
You know what I mean? But it's already, I'm not eating that till 11 a.m. a lot of times. You know what I mean? So it's like breaking a fast. It's basically like some kind of
intermittent fasting program. Yeah.
It's like, but I don't call it that because I don't do well. I don't do well when I'm like, I don't like diets. I don't like any of that stuff.
You don't want to declare a major.
right. But anyway, so I have the major breakfast and then I start getting any shit I got to get done. But then, because I'm up so early and I'm not like one of these person who's working out in the morning, but making sure I get to bed at 9 p.m. Like, that's not happening.
That's the thing.
So then I, around 2 p.m., especially if I start writing or anything that starts using my mental energy, so my physical energy is already depleted. And then once that goes, then I just have a full crash.
Right.
And so ideally, I go take a 1 hour nap at 2 p.m.
I love a nap.
Ideally, which I never do.
I have a 12-minute nap that I usually set my iPhone alarm to. Yeah. If I'm like, I need to like fall asleep for a minute, I'll take a 12-minute snoozer. That's my signature time. And I find that I wake up feeling refreshed but not groggy.
Yeah. Micro naps are a real thing. Yeah, you're not supposed to nap more than like 25 minutes because then you fall into a weird rhythm.
Then it's just sleeping, right? Because I've had days where that I'm not proud of, but I've had days where I'm like, all right, get a nap, and then I sleep the whole rest of the day.
I know,
and
then it's like, a real messed up the rest problem. Of the day.
Yeah.
If you like, you get to that point where you're like, I just need to close my eyes. Maybe you're sitting in traffic or something.
Yeah.
You do that for 10 minutes, boom, you don't have that urge is gone.
So I'm saying, so I've had days where it's like, work out in the morning, come home, and I'm like, I'm going to sleep for an hour, like take a power nap, whatever you want to call it. And then I sleep, it's like 5 p.m. and I gotta like go do something, go to a show. And I'm like, I am like, I could stay here till the night. But I'm like, what happened? You're saying that that's a scientific thing where you get into like,
because there's like four stages of sleep. And if you, once you're sleeping for 25 plus minutes, you hit the second one. And that's when your shit starts to, your muscles start to atrophy. Everything shuts down, melatonin. And then you get all groggy and you wake up and you're like, nothing works in my body. It's because it was on its way to shutting down.
Because you overslept the nap. So what time you're saying I should hit 25 minutes.
Set an alarm is the best
I
thing.
I think it's 25. We could look it up right now.
I believe you it is 25.
I'm not sure.
And the longer you go, the harder it is to snap out of it once you wake up. Like, because once you get to like your REM sleep state, then you're really fucked.
Yeah, an hour, you're toast.
Right,
hour nap.
You basically have to an alarm with Siri on your phone is a must for napping.
And okay,
12 minutes.
Let's talk about this. Okay, so in sleep, I want to get your guys' opinion here. And again, we're not scientists or anything.
No,
which
this
I think
is
you speak for yourself. Bro.
Well, Anosh is an actual scientist. Yeah. But
there's
a definite disclaimer here. But I also want to tell you that no one knows anything. I'm a doctor of this. And you're like, well, then why are you so fucking dumb?
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm not saying I'm above the law, above science, above degrees, nothing. But I find it like, it's some of these like doctors, you hear them and you're like, this guy's full of shit.
I know. Getting a second opinion is the most valuable thing in the world. And the reason I think about it like this guy who's a doctor just went to school, read the same books that everyone else read, did the classes that everyone else did. So he's not a superhuman. He's just a guy who studied pretty hard.
Right.
And he's, you know, so he can get things just as
well. And then they become businessmen,
well.
Right? Especially if they have like a podcast or something.
Right.
Like, I almost rather hear, and I'm not just doing this to sell this, because guys, this is a pro wrestling podcast. And these are our bonus episodes. We're not like fitness gurus or anything.
No.
But I almost rather hear like other people who are normal people being like, here's what's happening with me, than somebody who's like, you're scientifically, why your mitochondria are like punching the other one in the
right.
Your mitochondria, what was I saying there? Your mitochondria is punching your red blood cells. That's what's happening.
That was the perfect mix of Dan the bro and then Dan the
science
kind
bro.
Of smart
science
accountant
bro.
Guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, everybody knows that I'm a lot smarter than I sound. but okay, so here's the thing. You're talking about sleep and stuff, right? Like, so I find it, the big thing is like, the big thing now, and by the way, this will like change in 10 years, right? But right now it's like Jeff Bezos, like all the smartest, best, most successful people, they're fucking up at 5.
Like,
it's all about the get up at 5.
Yeah,
no,
what is this get up early culture that's like?
And you're like, guys, it's like, I got up at 5 before. It's all good, but my eyes they hurt. I've done this. I get up for shoots all the time. Like my call sheet will be like, get there at 5, like 6 a.m. call time. So that means I got to get up 4:30, drive to San Gabriel Valley for some kind of fucking shoot or whatever.
Yeah.
I've done it. It does not bring out my best self. Like, I'm positive. So, like, they just can't. Now, unless you're going to bed, it's okay. So, I guess the argument is some people are like early to rise, early to sleep, right?
Early to bed, early to rise.
Right. Well, yeah, early to bed, early to rise. But, that's not also part. That's also not how the normal like work schedule works, right? Like, if you get to work early and you're just a guy at a nine, you're a 9-to-5er, you're, you got to stay. No one's like, hey, you came in at 6. Like a lot of jobs. It's not like you got in at 5 so you can leave at 3.
Right,
like,
exactly.
No, your boss comes and then you know, you got to stay when you stay. So it's like everybody's shaming everybody for getting to the job at the time they got to get to the fucking job.
Dude, there's so much sleep shaming. Like, have you ever slept at someone's, like, maybe you go to a cottage with a family and you wake up at like 10 and they're like, wow, someone's up late, sleepyhead. And you're like, fuck you, I'm on vacation.
That's hilarious.
And like, there's no, like, in Europe, other places, you know, they have a built-in siesta, but like in, I don't know if it's a cultural thing, but like we just aren't granted that opportunity, which is why I think people like me suffer from like the afternoon slump.
Right.
I would go take a nap in my car and just sleep in the parking garage, like, because it's not acceptable to be like, I'm going to like put my head down at my desk and take a quick one, you know?
Yeah.
You'd be shamed.
I became a real like sleep snob now, though. I've noticed this. Like, if you're talking about going to a cottage, which is, we'll just let the word cottage go. Because I know she's always sneaking off to a cottage vacations.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I'm saying like, I've noticed like if I go out to like, if I go like on vacation with people and like one person is like sleeping like past 10 a.m.
Yeah.
I'm just like, disgusted by that.
Yeah,
I'm like,
yeah.
I'm just like, what is this fuck? What are these people doing?
But sometimes I'm that guy, and they're like, wow, someone slept in. I'm like, how do you know how late I was up? Maybe I got
I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that, but in my head, I'd be like, grow up already. You're fucking sleeping
past this. Sleeping on vacation.
But that's, the thing is, it's like, as it should
I know
be,
I'm right. I know I'm wrong.
No,
I know I'm wrong.
No, for sure. I get it. It should be you're shamed if you don't get 8 hours, because maybe I was up.
Right.
Maybe I was fucking writing a goddamn thesis from 12 a.m. to 4 a.m. yeah. And then now I'm waking up and you're shaming me. What if I woke up at 12? There, boom, got my 8 hours, but yeah. I also was productive.
Nah,
it should be 8 hours shaming.
Like, if you miss breakfast, you disgust me. Like, you.
Yeah, these dudes who get up at 5 a.m., they're going to bed at 8 p.m., they're not getting shamed for not being around.
I have a question.
I wish, if they were like, yo, you, we'll go to your question in a second.
Yes.
I was saying, but I just want, I don't want to forget this. This is too brilliant. If God or whatever, like, if someone was like, all right, Anosh, you get to choose right now. If I touch your forehead and it means you can never, you'll never sleep again. Like, you won't have the urge to sleep or anything, but you won't feel, you won't get to ever feel the relief of sleeping. Like, sleeping feels really good, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You wouldn't be able to sleep anymore, but you'd be like the machine you want to be.
Machine. Sign me up for machine.
You machine?
Yeah.
Me too. Mm. I'd be like, you know what? I could deal without the, like, you just like, you would, if someone was like, you would never feel tired. Oh my God.
Megazord 3000. That's what I'd call myself.
But you'd realize quickly, someone should write this movie.
Yeah.
A sci-fi
movie. Yeah,
Like, it's basically like Limitless,
right?
Limitless.
Right.
Writing it
in
a way where it's like, all right, you're like, you get like, for
your
whatever
reason.
Your
energy is limitless.
Right.
Yeah. And then you realize that, like, downtime is like where the heart is, right?
Yeah,
like,
right.
Yeah.
What an improvised climax!
You guys are like you Dr. You know, you guys are obsessed with the Dr. Manhattan trope, right? Like, I'm obsessed with like anyone who like is like becomes above stuff, like
right,
and you're
right.
like that trope, and it's done wrong constantly. But like if like you're like. Your family's like sitting to watch, like they're all like just snuggling on the couch, and you're just like cranking away on the keyboard, like working. And you're like, and they're like, come watch this cartoon, we're relaxing. And you're like, what? I don't know
relaxing?
What relaxing is anymore. I know the word, I know the definition, but I've lost touch with the feeling.
But it's no desire to
salty
do it.
Discharge from my eye.
Oh man.
Yeah, you would lose. You'd go psychologically. You'd lose your like between, because when everyone's sleeping, you'd just be up trying to find ways to entertain yourself.
I know,
and
that's the problem.
You feel like you're detached from society.
Yeah.
Everyone is on this rhythm, and you don't have the rhythm of society. And you're trying to find the rhythm
like out
of
walking
the night.
Around.
But okay, so my we'll get to your question. My high school.
My question,
do you remember it?
Yeah, I do remember it.
Okay.
It's
gonna be brilliant.
Yeah,
it's gonna be amazing. Everything we're doing here is brilliant. I'm using brilliant. Like I'm British.
Oh,
like just
brilliant.
Like casually.
You, oh, right. Brilliant. You remember that? Brilliant.
Yeah. So fuck, what was it? Oh, my high school. Okay. My high school classes started at 7:45.
Oh, okay.
First period. Bell rung, 7:45 a.m.
Yeah, that sounds right.
So it's very early compared to most people I know, their high school start time.
I think ours was like
8:30s.
7:20. Ours was early. I would have to get to school hella
See,
early.
Yeah, because you're an East Coaster.
What
like,
time
I'm, from,
the,
I'm from
oh,
Detroit,
from Michigan.
So yeah, I think.
Yeah, but Detroit probably is probably a busing issue, right?
Well, like, that's what suburbs. Screw it. Went to school in the suburbs.
Us is like a busing thing. It was like, all right, well, like, the high school, they're older, so these kids can handle waking up later,
right.
And they have to like share this amount of, it's like a budget thing. So it's like, all right, well, these, it's the same buses for every school. So it's like the high school goes first, right. Then the middle school route, and then the elementary
school.
Gotcha.
What was later? 9?
Yeah, probably. I don't know. But like other schools I knew started at 9, sometimes like 9:30.
That's hella late.
But like 7:45 in the morning,
that's
I felt
crazy.
Like made me do worse at school.
That's
and
really
I got
bad.
Decent grades, but like I was not like, you know, because I was, you know, so I played like baseball. I would do a lot of extracurricular stuff, even like Hebrew school or whatever.
Right.
You do that stuff, you get home, and then it's like, I wasn't going to bed.
Yeah. I used to come home from high school and take like long ass naps. Like,
yeah, I didn't do that. I wasn't allowed. And also, my house was not a nap friendly joint. You know what I mean? Like, it was not
your dad's still investigating sounds in the afternoon.
You have a lot of people.
I heard a mouse,
around.
Daniel.
Well, I also had so many interests that didn't align with school. You know, like wrestling and I liked video games and I liked gaming and like all that stuff. Like now with the advent of like iPads, like this stuff, I could maybe like weave it into my day a little more, even at school or whatever. But I'd like want to get home to like do the things I actually want to do. I've always said this. I never felt like a student until I took an improv class and I understood the concept of student. I literally was like, so excited to learn, and I was like staying after, like, talking to the teachers. Like, I was like that annoying student. And then I realized, I was like, oh, I should have been studying shit I like this whole time.
Yeah.
Like, it's being, I studied, like, I have an accounting degree.
Yeah. You went that
You didn't find that in Hebrew school?
No. I'm an atheist. I went to fucking Hebrew school. Like, everything I was told to do, was like, I hated all of it. It was like a bunch of shit I'm not into. You know?
Well, you probably hated it because you were told to do it. You know, like.
What do you mean we got to read right to left?
Yeah. interesting.
So what was your question?
Oh, my question was for relating to sleep, like for people who are sleep shamers or these superhumans who wake up like way early and just like start their day. I don't understand. Is it a matter of going to bed super early? Like, do those people? Because for me, if I woke up at 4, I'd have to go to bed at 8, which is insane. Right. But do people really do that? I honestly don't know. Yeah, like when does The Rock go to bed?
Yeah, that I want to know that too.
The only people I know who actually like go to sleep mad early like that, really? Like are disciplined like that, are my trainers.
My
trainers who are like, first off, they're concerned with like their gains as a trainer, like because it's like part of their deal,
right?
And like they got to teach a 5 a.m. step class or whatever the fuck it is, you know what I mean? So like I think like people I know who are actually in physical activity,
right? Like, are they still getting 8 hours though, or are they just getting 5 hours but they're like got to be up no matter what?
Yeah,
that's like unhealthy.
I just like can't imagine going to bed that early because that's like when all the good stuff happens.
You should be shamed. Bezos should be shamed for not being up between 8 p.m. and 12.
I don't even know what his actual schedule is. I just kind of said that.
He's someone who like just like sleeps in one of those.
Like, what if you went to on a bachelor party with Bezos and he's like, "Well, it's 8 p.m. time for bed," and
Bezos likes a party.
Yeah,
well,
true.
Here's the deal: it's a fine line for me because I find like I really want to be, like one of these guys. Like, I want to. And I do a decent job, but I want to like be up early working out. I want to like not be like sleeping. I want to be like a machine. I want to be like on, and I try to do it, you know. I mean, even like we're here today, like recording a bunch of apps. I'm like trying to do, you know, I have all these lofty ideas and I'm trying to execute them, and it's always managing my expectations with reality and like resources and blah blah blah, and it's always like not enough and blah, you know. I'm always trying to do that, but then you see guys like, so my point is that I really admire it and I'm inspired by it, and it does push me when I see like The Rock's Instagram and like he's like shooting and he's up at 4 a.m. and he's in the gym, and it's like no matter what, it's like, oh, he's got a private gym. You're like, all right, he's got a private gym, but he's
still
like
awake.
He's literally doing like a glute bridge for 7,000 pounds. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't give a fuck what private gym you have. I don't see you doing even like a 100-pound glute bridge or whatever. You know, So I'm saying, but then also it's kind of has a negative effect on me. Like, it sets the bar for me, but then also makes me feel like I'm not good enough.
I know that feeling. That's like,
true. Yeah,
it's hard to shake. I think, I guess if I could offer Cloud Nation any sleep tips,
yeah.
I would say for me, someone who struggled with sleep, read a book as the last thing you do before you go to sleep. Don't make it look at Facebook, which is what I do every night, but I find that my experience is better if I flip it and I read a book and not my phone. I think that truly helps.
Tough thing to do.
Yeah. Invest in a white noise machine. And
that helps?
It really helps.
Do you guys ever watch like movies or something like TV?
I'll watch my iPad, you know, something like that before I go to sleep.
Right.
But if I do that, I'll do it till I'm really tired and I can't keep my eyes open.
Have you guys ever tried sleep mask and earplugs?
I have tried. Earplugs don't work for me because I find them uncomfortable, but a sleep mask,
right.
I mean, darkness does help. Right. I would also
I was raised in it. Oh, the worst Bane impression of all time. Molded by
take control of your city.
You know, that performance is more memorable than people give it credit for. Because the Joker one overshadows
it.
But we're still talking about it.
It's kind of crazy. Like, they had those two movies, and like, the Ra's al Ghul character is just literally Liam Neeson, so whatever. But, hey, spoiler alert. I guess it's a twist, right? But the Scarecrow didn't have anything like that. But like, the two next movies, you're like, these bad guys are like, it's like 10 years later, I'm still, if you say something that triggers me, I go off on it.
Crashing this plane.
Crashing the plane.
Anyways, my biggest recommendation, I can't sleep without earplugs or sleep mask. And I just started doing it a year ago, but now if I don't have it, it's hard to sleep.
I'm still working on cracking the code to sleep, but I think that those are things that I know help that I don't always do myself. But,
So I don't do any, like, I do sleep mask only on planes. So they give it to me and that's it. I don't think I can do it in my bed, but here's shit I do before I go to bed that's like, definitely does not help me.
These are the opposite of tips, folks.
No, this is not, you should not do this. I don't recommend this at all. Is I do like, all right, so I do things that are relaxing to me, but are extremely, the opposite of like clearing your mind. Like, I build Magic the Gathering decks.
Yeah.
That's a massive thing I do before I go to bed. It's like, look at the market for, all right, people don't know because I talk about this in the other apps, but if you're only on the lifestyle apps, I love the strategy games, and Magic the Gathering's game I've played since I'm a kid. And there's always new cards coming out. I'm like, oh, how will this fold into my other deck? But I find it very much stresses me out because it's actually, in a good way, it is actually, I believe it to be like good use of your brain. I think it's like, it's math. It's like, oh, how does this card, the mechanics of this card fit into a deck I have? Does that go with the strategy of the deck? And then you're mathematically like, do I need any more of this type of card? Right. Do I have too many redundant effects of that? Like, that's a lot of puzzle piecing that I really like. Right. That I think is like, I think it makes you, I don't know, it makes me smarter. It's like, but I think
makes you sharper a little bit, maybe.
Yeah, if my kid was doing that, that's an activity I would be fine with.
You'd condone it.
Which is actually something like, people look down on these games and they're stupid for it. Now, you can be too obsessed, whatever. Yeah. But that's, right? But I find that that's actually not like a good use of my time. Like, it doesn't, it keeps me up. It doesn't. It stresses me out before I'm going
to
bed.
You can't disengage from the activity before you close your eyes. You know what I mean? Like, you think about it.
Yes, I have to consciously stop. Yeah. I don't fall asleep doing it ever. Like,
I mean, it's like, on one hand, maybe if that's like a ritual for you before you go to bed.
I'm not
like,
going to stop doing it.
Yeah, I mean, it just is what it is.
Because I don't want to stop. That's the thing I'm saying.
I would say maybe if that is affecting your sleep, do that and then do something else before you go to bed. Like, read a book or a magazine or something. Or, who knows? Yeah, listen to a podcast.
Well, do you guys? So, podcasts—that's an interesting thing.
I couldn't listen to. There's podcasts that are meant for sleep. Yeah. That you just are meant to turn on and then tune out to and then fall asleep during because they're like kind of boring.
I'm so fucking bad at that.
I've tried it and it's okay. I find that it does put me to sleep, but I prefer like a white noise machine. There is
some science about looking at your phone within the hour that you go, again, because I am a scientist.
Your lab is in a cottage, right?
Yeah, my lab is in a cottage. Yeah, exactly.
And everyone wakes up early there.
That's right. There is some science that says if you look at your phone or a screen before the last hour, it does the opposite of release melatonin.
There's something to that.
Makes you blast you awake, basically.
Right. Well, and then it's like the blue light, right? Like
that's what it is. I was already there. We got there at the same time.
Yeah, people. If you can wear the glasses.
A pedestrian.
Civilian. I don't claim to be a doctor or a nurse or.
I just wanted her to say the information out loud.
I was
already there. But yes, you're right.
But I think that
that's why they changed the lights on the phone, right?
Well, you can turn on night mode on your iPhone at nighttime, which I read doesn't really shut off the blue rays or whatever the fuck it is that keeps you up. There's glasses you can buy to wear when you look at your phone that will keep them from getting in your eyeballs. Rods and cones, but like, I mean, I just don't buy it.
The rods and cones, correct.
Like, I mean, like, whether or not you're wearing, you know, the friggin' glasses that you need to look at your phone at night, you're still looking at Instagram. And that's gonna, like, I believe, trigger some shit in your head that keeps you up, you know, social media.
Yeah. Social media. I mean,
tangential, but yeah. The new season of Black Mirror.
Yeah, I just saw the video game app.
Okay,
which really weirded me out. As a guy who loves his bros.
I know.
I want to fuck my
bros. Don't spoil it.
But the second
one. That's not a spoiler because I do want to fuck my bros.
Okay, yeah. No spoilers either, but the second one deals with like addiction to social media.
Is that the Miley Cyrus one?
No, it's the one with it's the one that's very British. I won't tell you who the American actor is in it if you haven't seen it. It's not a big deal, but that one deals with like social
Kevin
media
Spacey?
Addiction. Yes.
I like my American actors to be a surprise. Thank you.
I mean, I can spoil it for you. It's a funny reveal.
Chadwick Boseman.
No spoiler.
Yeah. I just realized I did mine in that. I said Dallas Howard in the Burn It Down. Bryce Dallas Howard! Burn it down! But just like Seth intended.
Do we have any questions?
Do you think Seth Rollins, do you think if you sat down with him right now, podcast, me and you, we're sitting, you sat and you talk to them. I know you love him, but take the bias away. Would it be an interesting conversation?
100% no. I know. I mean, I just like have known guys who are like Seth Rollins. And
it's too hot.
I've had, I've just got experience with guys who are Seth Rollins. And I think that's probably why I'm attracted to him and love him so much.
Yeah.
Because I know it's like I love a good toxic relationship. And I think that I could have that with him.
Yeah.
But I think
me a good toxic relationship.
Yeah.
Nothing like a little toxic relationship.
A little toxicity.
The day off. Britney Spears style.
Who
sings the song Toxic and has been in a series of toxic relationships.
Yeah, exclusively. But
so
I don't think so.
People say she doesn't sing her truth. You're a liar. By the way, Jamie was showing me. I don't know why Britney Spears. I keep interrupting. I'm sorry, but Jamie showed me. She showed me Britney Spears' Instagram. She was like, "Look at these videos of her Instagram," and I was like, "Wow. Wow, this person is like insane."
Yeah. She's definitely off her rocker.
Yeah. There I go.
No, I mean like Seth Rollins, like what would we talk about? Like hardcore music? Like I don't have anything in common.
Yeah.
But I do like his relationship with Becky Lynch. I think they're a good balance.
Myself. Guys, speaking of meeting wrestlers, I had the pleasure of being 25 feet away from The Rock this weekend.
Oh my God. Yeah.
It was so close, Dan.
How was it, though?
I couldn't get to him. I wanted everything to get to him for this pod, but
I couldn't. We got to get Mundy on this podcast. We talked about that. I think I met the guy once, so calling him by his last name is not cool. But we were talking about him with Mike Carlson on the last episode of Cal, but he got married by The Rock. And like
my buddy
Arthur Myers done segments. He's a writer for The Tonight Show. He's done segments at The Tonight Show with Arthur with The Rock and and it's just like, come on, man. Like, what? I can't meet The Rock. I'm going to die before I meet The Rock. This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. Yeah. And Stone Cold, I don't get to sit down at fucking Aqua Dulce. Like, Stone Cold, if I can interview Stone Cold, I might be able to die happy. I mean, if I could just sit and let me ask him, like, a shoot interview with Stone Cold, unfiltered.
Do you think
unleashed, if you will?
I feel like don't sell yourself short. I think.
Do you think The Rock?
I think it can. I think it can happen, but it didn't happen yet.
The sky's the limit.
Do you think The Rock is getting a little too preachy? Like at this, so I went to the MTV Awards this week, and he was being honored for that Lifetime Achievement Award, and it was like. It's it's a pre-taped show, so they like do cuts and stuff sometimes. But it was kind of awkward, to be honest. It was fully an awkward show.
Yeah,
but then The Rock came out, and it was like you could tell it was very rehearsed and stuff.
The Rock or Dwayne?
Dwayne.
It was Dwayne. Then,
well, no, it was The Rock because they were like, "We will rock you," and it was like The Rock. They didn't even call him Dwayne.
Yeah, I don't like that. But
then he had a whole thing about how like Hollywood tried to say I can't be called The Rock, and like, anyways, but it all became very. You know how he's getting like very preachy. It was like
positivity.
Almost. Yeah, it was too like you're such a larger than life big star. And yes, you weren't that for a while. You had pennies in your pocket.
Maybe he's.
But it's like
$7.
Yeah, but it's like now that you have all this, it's hard for you to kind of be like just tell people go out there, live your life. You have the ability to do that.
And listen, that shit is so tricky. I think with The Rock, it's that. It's genuine enough. Like as someone watched The Rock come up, like I saw him as an not a big star. I watched him walk in with the tassels on, and I thought in my head, well, this guy is a jabroni with a jabroni of a bod. And then right. he had a complete, like, he, like, I've watched him completely transform, and I know he didn't come from money. I know what his wrestling background was. So he actually, like, to see that, so he, like, doesn't bother me that much, even though, like, that shift is always, you can always find a problem with that preachiness. The problem is really more guys like Will Smith.
I have no like, problem with The Rock.
Is very dangerously fringing into that territory.
I mean, I think The Rock is a good guy, and I believe that he means it in earnest. I don't get a phoniness from him.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
But it's also, what we're seeing is just, this is his public persona exclusively that he's putting out there. So I think it's very, you know, specific. It's very, like, well-crafted to be right. something very specific.
Yeah.
I think that, I believe if you met The Rock, you know, any day of the week, he's probably a nice guy. Mm-hmm. But I think his persona is now this ultra positive, like, you can do anything.
Right.
Look at me. And, you know, I think it comes from a real place. So I give him the benefit of the doubt.
I buy into it. I think actually he's the only guy who pulls it off.
That's the kind of crazy president thing.
I'd vote for him president over Donald Trump.
I mean, I would vote for him, I think, period.
It's hard to say no. It's hard to say but I would not vote for The Rock. No.
I trust The Rock.
I can't. Like, I vote for boring. I will vote for the most nerdiest smart guy to be
right,
the press.
Right.
But I mean, it is a face like Oprah Winfrey. I was watching, like, Oprah Winfrey is like, you're like, her impact is so undeniable that it's like,
yeah.
I mean, is this the new world we live in where the president is more of an Instagram face than anything else?
Right. Mm.
Does Trump even have an Instagram?
I don't think so.
No.
It's so funny that he's such a Twitter guy. Yeah. Like, you know, like, he doesn't.
I think it's because Twitter is where a lot of his fan base collects. I don't think they have a large Instagram presence.
Yeah, because like Instagram, like, no one even, like, Twitter is like so dead within my circle of people.
Yeah.
People I actually know. Yeah.
The Hollywood elites. Let's take this one question before we go. We can get into a lot of stuff. I mean, look, we didn't solve sleep, but listen, neither did the podcast who said they solve sleep.
I mean, you can't solve. It's different for everyone. And I wish everyone listening to this good luck on their sleep journey.
Man, I think anything sleep we talk journey. About here, yeah. anything we talk about on this podcast is like, yo, take two things away, which is this shit's hard for us too.
Yeah.
Right? So when you wake up and it feels hard, you're like, oh, it's so hard. It feels as hard for us also.
Right. Well, like you were saying, rather than listen to some doctor or an expert, I think it's good to hear other people's struggles and how they deal with it. You know, I'd rather read something, someone's experience that they post on Reddit versus WebMD just telling you something. So
yeah,
I hope that that's useful for
people. And then the other thing to take away from here is that I live a life of, I'm not scared to change up the routine. I don't like keep it the same just because out of fear. Yeah. I follow fear. Now, I don't follow fear into illogicalness. That's what I just want to say, which is a danger in LA. There's so much hippie shit out here that is like non-based in any kind of science, and it's just like all kinds of, and you know I'm a man of no spirituality, but I'm talking about practical shit, which is like, maybe waking up an hour earlier might make me feel better.
Yeah.
Maybe working out in the morning, like practical changes like that.
Right.
I'm not judging if you need to put a crystal in your left ear to to, like, you know, talk to somebody or whatever. Like, I don't know, whatever that is. I'm not, I mean, it sounds like I'm judging it, but but it's less, I'm just saying more about like practical changes. If everybody's journey is, erase your mind. Okay. Let's hear it. So we got one question here and we'll end on this question, and it's actually a two-parter. So maybe we'll just do one part of it.
Cashin question.
I do. I think I played that.
Oh, you did.
I think I played that.
I think you might
episode.
Have too.
Yeah. Okay. What does your diet look like? It's from Corey Sizemore. Are you doing a sort of cutting diet with four meals a day, super high in protein? I know you track everything, but how do you account for a date night at a restaurant that isn't on MyFitnessPal? This has always been my biggest hurdle for tracking food. Listen, boom. I got something to say about this. I went out to, I don't know if you guys know this, but last Monday I went to Monday Night Raw, very close seats.
Mm.
And tremendously close seats. Yeah,
some of the closest seats.
Some of the closest seats.
Nobody has close seats.
We love close seats, don't we?
We love close seats.
No more Mr. Nice
Okay. Wow. Hey.
Yikes.
Yeah. Yikes. But so after the show, let's talk about two elements of this. So I knew I'm going to Monday Night Raw. So immediately I know the last meal of my day is probably not going to be optimal.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So the first two meals of my day are optimal. And to the point where I go, all right, I probably got to leave the house at like 3 to get to the Staples Center. So I'm going to start making that at 2. I'm going to eat at 2. So it's like, all right, I'm going to eat up until the wire there, right? Like,
right.
So I plan like that. So if you know you're going to have a day where your like one meal is going to be out of whack, practical advice, take the crystal out of your ear at a... No idea why those are considered. No idea why. Reference to crystals and Stone Cold.
If you drop a crystal, it shatters.
Oh, yeah. If you smile. What a noosh is cooking. All right. That joke died. All right. Hey, folks. I'm really getting the like timing of a morning show host, right?
Morning zoo.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that's a good thing to do is, like, think about how those two meals are clean. Now, here's the next thing. Talking about tracking it. So, the first two meals were tracked because I ate them at home.
Right.
So, I go to Staples Center, and I'm like, all right, you know what? What I'm going to do is I'm going to go out to eat after the event, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to eat in the arena because in the arena, it's going to be like a nightmare. And
No concession chips?
No concession situation. Waters. I mean, I'm loading up on waters, coffees. I mean, I went to the McDonald's in the Staples Center and got like the big, you know, like the big soda cup of iced coffee,
nice.
Which to me is just like heaven. Very unhealthy
choice.
I mean, I'm just
downing
black iced coffee.
You went with Sarah Claspel, did you not?
That was SmackDown.
SmackDown.
Oh, you went back to back?
Yeah.
Back to Smack?
Yeah, back to Smack. And by the way, we went to Ontario for SmackDown, which is like not Staples Center quality of food.
Yeah, Miz said Ontario, because I didn't know I didn't really realize. I just figured they were in the Staples Center. He said Ontario. I was like, where is that? And I Googled. I was like, that's fucking far.
I think that's where Anosha's Cottage is in Canada.
Yeah.
You actually just nailed it there because people from Ontario call cabins cottages.
Yeah.
How cute.
Do people vacation in Canada? Like, it's just all...
To the cottage. They go to the cottage.
Yeah. Anyway, okay.
Don't you dare wake up after 8 a.m.
Tell you, our buddy, friend of the show, Skylar Aston, is like basically a Canadian citizen.
I know. Right?
He and I have been texting since he's been out there because
really?
He was there for all the Raptors, so we were talking about it for
Yeah, he's shooting in Toronto and Vancouver, like two things.
Dude,
so he's back and forth.
He's fully Canadian. I posted a story about the Raptors, like talking about after we won, and he wrote, like, he was like, preach, brother. He's like, he's full on Raptors
he's
now.
Like,
no
he's
text to me about sports.
Oh,
he knows
Alaska.
To steer clear.
Yeah.
Yo, so, yo.
Okay.
What up? Yeah, yo. What up? All right. Anyway, that was uncomfortable for everybody. Erase your mind. All right. So Raw. So I went to Yard House after. We went out to eat with some friends. And I'm looking at the menu. There's a nice menu. It's kind of like a fancy Fridays, I want to say. So I got some on the menu, and it was like Maui chicken. So it was like basically like a half-grilled chicken, roasted grill, I don't know, with some just plain white rice and grilled pineapple. That was it. Yeah. And then I added a side Caesar salad. Okay. I go to put it in my Fitness Pal. So this is grilled chicken, white rice, and it, whoever put it in, like, because it just goes by the community, like the way the app works. It's like if somebody puts it in before, it's all in a database, so you could quick. So for your reference, people had this clocked in as 1,600 calories.
Holy shit.
And I was like, no fucking way. Just chicken, rice, and pineapple? How can that be 1,600 calories?
It's crazy. Well, it's like if you go to eat at the Cheesecake Factory, which I did for the first time recently. I mean, like, they have to show the calorie count on the menus because it's like that large of a chain. And it is shocking. Like, that, what you describe, like, could be listed as 1,600 calories. Like, it's really surprising.
But how could it actually be that?
Maybe it's like what they cook it in, or I have
butter,
no clue.
Butter, maybe? No, that just increases.
How would
fat,
that add
like,
an
calories.
Extra? That's probably a 700 calorie dish.
Is there a sauce?
What?
Is there a sauce?
So there was a sauce in there too. Now it came separate and it was kind of like a light dipping sauce. Even with that, man, we're talking about an extra almost 1,000 calories.
Maybe that person was just being ultra like concerned. They were like going for it and just saying like, I'm guessing the high
end.
So
here's how I'm going to answer your question, which is like, first off, there's this is, if you're, and this is a mistake I make all the time, which is that, like, if the system is flawed, right? I'm talking about building magic decks, right? Like, I'm looking at the how mechanics are interacting. I'm like, oh, actually, this one card is a nombo, meaning a non-combo with another card. So it can't be in there in the one out of 100 opportunity. Like, what are the odds that those two cards are actually on the field and interacting, right?
Right.
Small, but I can't even handle that.
Yeah.
So the point is that, like, if I think about those technicalities and, like, that math, I just won't even diet because I'm like, I can't track this. And right. You have to understand this is going to be flawed. Now, so accepting the fact that, like, a date night, you said a date night is not going to be registered on your app properly, is you try to have accuracy in the other meals that you can do and know that one's going to be a little messed up. Now, the second part of it I would recommend is start weighing your other meals.
That's a good tip.
Right? When you start weighing food, I'm able to look at that and know that's inaccurate. That is not 1,600 calories, because I know what 1,600 calories of these foods look like. So even with the additional sauce, I know that that's literally impossible for something that has no cream base. It's not in a cream and has no bread, right? That it's actually impossible. I never understood food the way I did until I started weighing ingredients, and it's so much easier than you think.
What Dan is suggesting is bring a small postage scale everywhere you go. Put your sandwiches on
there. Use the scale you used to whale your weed on. Just bring that with you to a restaurant.
You know I would do that. Like, if I would... No. But I'm saying, obviously not.
Keep it in your pocket. They're little.
But I can eyeball food now way easier. I know, like today I was in kind of a rush to get to the pod. So I was making my little Guido pizza, which I call it, which is like, cauliflower crust. You know what I mean?
Johnny one slice with it.
It's so much chicken. It's barely... I call it like a pizza, but it's such a... It's a small... all crust covered in like 6 ounces of grilled chicken, which is like the whole top. So it's like basically like a protein pizza, but like I didn't have time to weigh because I was like, I gotta get out the door or whatever. So but I still knew, like, this is about this amount of chicken, this is about this much cheese, like this is that. So that, you know, I think, like, weighing, it really helps you understand. Even if you do it for a month, you'll have infinite more knowledge than you did before if you've never been someone to weigh your food.
Right. I think, like, I have baked a lot in my life. So when it comes to measurements, like one cup of something or like one tablespoon, I have a pretty good, I can do the same thing.
Right.
As like measuring things, but I'm not.
Yeah, and also train your fucking ass off. That's my other thing, is that, like, start training. Don't be a calorie, like, don't just be a calorie counter.
Yeah.
Cover all your bases. Also be training. So you're burning calories on the other end. Now you're working for yourself.
ABT, always be training. But also, if you're ABTing, your metabolism is going to go up. Your body's going to turn into like a calorie crushing machine. Yeah. It's just going to burn
more
off
efficient.
The fuel immediately, so you can get through those little cheat
I
meals.
Think
so when I was out to eat at that one restaurant, I was like, is that like everybody was like, I can't believe you're eating the rice, right? Because because as it happens, people talk about your food. The second you are in shape, people are looking at your food,
it's
and that's
judgment,
just a consequence.
Yeah.
I see that as a privilege. That is an absolute privilege of being someone that people look up to in what you're doing.
Yeah.
So that's something you need to get over, I think. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So, but people are like, I can't believe you're eating the rice. And I'm like, yo, this rice is no problem. I need these carbs. I'm under on my carbs because I'm trying to put on muscle and hit a certain calorie count.
Right.
And I'm burning. So I'm always in it. I'm burning enough where I'm always in a deficit. And that has changed my fucking life from the times where I'd be like, I'm not eating carbs right now. You know, I can't do that. I can't be like, I don't eat something. Because then my brain's like, have it.
You must
have
eat it. Yeah.
Now, like, French fries is my biggest weakness. Now I'm like, my buddy was like, hey, have some French fries. Like, I'm not eating fries right now.
Oh, Donnie, no
fries.
And then
I'm like, all right, fine, I'll have some fries. And I only ate a couple because I didn't tell myself that I can't have them.
Right. I think it's a mistake to, you know, completely like sign off of something, because then, like, if you do eat it, you're just gonna eat like a shitload of it.
Right.
And you'll feel guilty then if you do.
Yeah.
If you put pressure
this
on
question, though, I think he said that he struggles with slipping up on date nights. How many dates are we going on?
I know,
like,
you little romantic, size more.
Oh, yeah, hey, I'll tell you my advice for you is get married.
Yeah,
hey,
I know.
Folks.
Get married.
Oh, the date nights will start starts slipping away.
Yeah, yeah. Don't have to worry about it.
Yeah. Oh my. Hey, stop having such a healthy sex life. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No. By the way, if you're doing on date nights and you're crushing these date nights, you should be working it off in after party, my
Absolutely.
Friend.
Absolutely. Nosh, that's the Nosh's full regimen is. Successful date nights.
Yeah. Crush ice cream, fuck hard afterwards.
Yeah,
I will say, so I went to SmackDown very close seats, and I went out to eat with Ziggler after. That is a brag.
Oh, wow.
Not a humble brag. That is a direct brag.
With
okay?
Dolph Ziggler?
Dolph.
Oh, my gosh.
Ziggler. Okay, and you know I have a big mark problem where I mark out too hard for all wrestlers, you know, and luckily Dolph's a cool guy. He'll handle me, but I was like, yo, it's my first question. We sit down. I go, how many calories do you think you burned tonight?
That's a good question.
Okay, so to be fair,
let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Before the order is taken, before the menus drop, while you're eating, when do you pose this question?
Before the
in
order.
In the parking
right
lot.
Away.
Before
right away.
You want to know going into the meal.
No, actually, I asked that after we ordered like a shit ton of tacos for the table.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? And it was like, oh, well, I'm like, I know that I had under eight that day because I like went to drove out to Ontario and then I had, you know, so I knew that I had calories to spare, you know?
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, I'm going to have about this. And it just made me think of it. Like, he had a match on the main show and then a dark match after.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'm like, you know, probably he's probably wrestling for like 20 minutes or something like that. Mm-hmm. What kind of calories do you think that burns? If you had to guess.
I have no idea. Like.
Like 1,000 or no, like 500?
Do you mean in the day leading up to it?
No, what are you talking? I'm talking about
during
his matches.
Match. How many calories
he's burning?
You burn?
Oh,
I'm saying, you know what I mean?
Maybe 1,000 or maybe like 700 or something like that, I'd guess.
Yeah.
Because like, I know like this is just my only frame of reference, but during like an Orange Theory class, it shows you how many calories you have burned on the thing. And like, you know, someone like Dolph, who probably has a very efficient system, probably burns
less,
you know. Yeah, but
he probably
like
burns
working,
less calories because he is in such good shape.
Right, right.
I thought you were asking him how many calories do you eat per day.
No. I was like, how many calories do you think you burned at the event?
Yeah.
Like where, like when you go out to eat, are you like, yo, whatever I eat.
Yeah, for Dolph, it's probably different than like if you or I or a normal human being did what he did or like attempted to do it, you know, like.
Yeah. You got to mark out. You got to think about this
next shit. Next time, ask him how much he eats. I don't know how much he eats a day.
I always am curious about people's diets. Like Matthew Riddle is the one guy whose diet I'm like, what do you eat? Like, how do you look like that? Yeah.
I bet he eats a lot, but I bet he works out like a beast.
Yeah.
He feels like a guy who like wakes up and just
runs
a couple
miles.
What
do you think Kevin Owens' diet looks like?
That's not looking good.
Can I just
let me tell you, I was,
he looks
very
bigger.
Close tickets. That guy's not in shape.
Kevin Owens spends a lot of time at the cottage, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Kevin Owens is the guy, like, he's getting up at 11. And, like, you don't want to go. I don't want to ever be on vacation and be the guy who, like, when people are like, you know, there might be some bacon left over. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be the leftover bacon guy.
Yeah, that's sad.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. They're all at the Hilton, the buffet at lunch. Hey, Kevo, you know there's some bacon left in here.
Yeah, you walk out. You're like in one of those, like, you got an Airbnb with a bunch of your friends, and you walk out into, like, you know, all those outlets. Like, there's one main area and a bunch of satellite rooms, and you walk out. Everybody's already fucking eating lunch.
Tons of gravy left, bud.
Hey, what up, sleepyhead? I was coding. I was actually doing some coding. I was doing HTML. All right, anyway, I feel like we did it, right?
Yeah,
I feel like we did it. We talked about sleep. We solved sleep. Hey, keep giving your questions. Lifestyle episodes. You guys dictate what we talk about here at comediansofwrestlingpod@gmail.com. Send any questions you want for us, comediansofwrestlingpod@gmail.com. And we definitely have some more we backlogged here. But yeah, hit us up. And don't worry, main episode coming out Thursday. We'll be talking about the week in professional wrestling. Monday Night Raw, Tuesday Night SmackDown, AEW. Who knows? Check out the Patreon. We got our latest episode of the movie dissection. We're dissecting movies with professional wrestlers in them. And we have MacGruber episode. So Patreon.com is the best way to support the show. .com/comediansofwrestling. All right, hey, keep watching wrestling. Cheers up. Wrestling. I listen on Thursday when
discussion. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.